Welcome to the Third City Christian Church podcast. This week's message is Go and Be Part 3, How Can I Help? Recorded Sunday, March 16th, 2025. If you have a story about how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to office@thirdcityc.org. Now here's Parker with today's message.
Summer going into fourth grade year, I had to go to summer school. Yeah. 3 days a week for most of my summer, I'd wake up. The rest of my siblings would still be in their pajamas watching SpongeBob. All my buddies are out riding bikes already, and I'm packing up for school. Summer school wasn't my choice. I always did all right in school. Pretty well regarded as a student. Besides fourth grade, I'm sorry, Miss Wissing, I'm a different man now, okay? I'm sorry. Summer school wasn't my choice, it was my mom's. It was my third grade teacher, Miss Goodall's, who was a retired nun from Massachusetts, who affectionately called me Paca. If you need a Boston accent, just hold your car keys and say the word khakis. Khakis. Click and clack the Tappet Brothers from NPR's Car Talk taught me that. Best radio show running in history. Can I get an amen? Absolutely. Four of us were like, yeah, I love that show. Well, my mom and Miss Goodall came up with this plan to help my friend in my class who did need summer school. Obviously, summer school was about the lamest thing ever, and they both knew that. And so they offered my time to come sit with my buddy while he did summer school so that he didn't have to do it alone. Let's call him Sam. Sam had a rough home life, an alcoholic father, and a mother just trying to hold it together. And all you had to do is drive by his house, and you could just imagine the kind of chaos that was happening inside. And they both knew that. They saw that. My friend Sam, needless to say, was struggling in school. No one wants to go to summer school. And Sam got made fun of already enough. And I think Miss Goodall and my mom were just sorry for Sam. They just had this heart posture where they had compassion for him. They saw the hopelessness in his eyes. And they had this sorrow about it, and they said, how can I help? And this was the plan that they came up with. So here I was a few days a week during the summer working on homework with my buddy Sam. It wasn't my problem. I wasn't there because it was my problem. But I did have a part in being a helper in the situation. It cost my mom gas money. It cost Miss Goodall her time without getting paid. She did it all for free. And it cost me the time I should have been spending watching SpongeBob in my underwear. I hope it helped. I haven't seen Sam since. But my mom knew something from Mr. Rogers' neighborhood and Daniel Tiger. Any Daniel Tiger fans in here, parents? Yeah, pretty good, pretty nice. Pretty okay, simple song, here it is.
Saying I'm sorry is the first step, then how can I help?
Hey, everybody, saying I'm sorry is the first step, then how can I help? It's gonna be in your head the rest of the day. There you go. See what it is, here's the deal. All this stuff that's happening way out there, it's so easy to walk by, but the stuff that's happening right in front of your face, at some point you gotta make a decision. You have a decision to make when it's a struggling neighbor kid, or it's a stranger in the grocery store parking lot, or it's a family member who's hurting and is ostracized and nobody else in the family talks to them because they said that one thing back in 2007 and nobody talked, okay. Do I consider how I can help or do I walk on by? It's a decision point. And this is the critical moment of answering the call to go and be the hands and feet of Christ and love people in the world for us who follow Jesus. And for those in here who are just trying to figure this Jesus thing out, you don't follow Jesus yet, you're just like, I'm just interested or I got drug along. I respect that. I'm glad you're here. You should see this type of love in the people who say they follow Jesus. So you're right in assuming that. This is a critical moment. So we're looking at our core scripture again this morning. This is Luke 10. Dan talked about our head, our heart, and our hands and what needs to change about that. Brendan last week talked about the lines that we draw of people who will help or we won't help. And this week we're talking about if we're actually going to do something or not. So here it is again, Luke 10. One day an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him a question. Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus replied, what does the law of Moses say? How do you read it? And the man answered, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Right, Jesus told him. Do that and you'll live. And the man wanted to justify his actions. Apparently, he hadn't been doing so hot on the whole loving your neighbor thing. So he asked Jesus, but who's my neighbor anyway? You know, who's my neighbor? Jesus replies with this story. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along, but when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. A temple assistant walked over, looked at him lying there, but he also passed by on the other side. Then a despised Samaritan, this people who the people of this area, the people who would have been hearing this story, thought very low of. This Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him, saying, "I'm sorry," is the first step. And then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn and where he could take care of him. How can I help? The next day, he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, "Take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here." Now, which of these 3 would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by bandits? Jesus asked this guy. He says, "The man who showed mercy, the one who showed mercy." And Jesus says, "Yeah, go do that. Go do that." Like we said, the problem we face is that all that stuff way out there, all these foreign things, all these across the world things, they're so easy to walk by. I just say, how could I ever, you know, why? It's not my problem. It's somebody else's problem. Somebody's surely doing something about that. And that's fair. Maybe. I'll give you that one. But the stuff that's right in front of your face, that's the stuff that leads you to a moment of decision. And yes, we judge people that we see in need, and we decide whether they're worthy or not, or whether they deserve it or not. And that's a part of the problem. But more often than that, I think we're probably just thinking, what's it going to cost me? Money, time, energy? I think we're so busy living our lives. Asking someone to give an hour to help somebody else is about the hardest thing you could ask somebody to do nowadays. Like, people almost get offended if you ask for help. It's like, do you even know who I am? Do you even know that my kids are in 16 activities, you know? Don't you dare ask me for help. Do you even respect me? But our ability to be dismissive isn't always out of a place of just being heartless, because I don't believe that. I think we all, in our souls, care at some point. It's just that we don't really believe that we have something to give, or that we don't have the time to do it, and so we don't. But this decision is all about how we respond to Jesus's call to be helpers, to step in and to love our neighbor, embodying Christ's love through tangible action. And first, always first, always first, you have to remember and celebrate the love that Christ poured out on your behalf. You did nothing to deserve it. You didn't come to him all perfect, washed up, ready to be received by the God of the universe and say, "Here I am, perfect and all." You didn't earn it. You didn't deserve it. But Jesus comes to heal you and pay what you owe anyways. Just remember how you've been treated by the creator of the universe, and then you love people out of that love. You have to at least be as kind to yourself and others as God is kind to you. You have to at least be as kind to yourself and others as Christ is kind to you. Because here's the deal, and I'm not proud of this, but it's so easy for me to pass by someone on the side of the road and think, I didn't have much when I was growing up either. Obviously, you made a series of decisions that ended you up in this predicament. That's your problem. If you can stand there and hold a sign, you could probably stand somewhere and work a job. Am I the only one that's ever thought those thoughts? Okay, but here's the problem, slick. Is that how Jesus approaches me? In my worthless state? In my pitiful moment where I need him the most? Does he come to me and go, "Pick yourself up. You got yourself into this situation. Now get yourself out of it. You're whining to me. You're crying to me. I was ripped to shreds and nailed to a piece of wood. I don't see any Roman torture devices around here. Pick yourself up and show me something that makes you worth it." Does Jesus approach you like that? Does Jesus approach me like that? Or does he instead say, come to me when you're broken and you're busted and you have no worth and you have nothing to give? And I will pour out an ocean of love on you that will change you from the inside out. Grace and mercy and forgiveness. And everything that you owe God, I'll pay it. That's how Jesus approaches you. We can only go and be Jesus' love when we understand what we've received in Jesus' love. And what's at stake if we don't? This is Matthew 25. But when the Son of Man comes in his glory, so that's Jesus talking about himself, and all the angels with him, then he will sit upon his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered in his presence, and he will separate the people as a shepherd separates sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep at his right and the goats at his left. And the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me. And then these righteous ones will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry or feed you? They're confused. They don't even remember that they did this. They're surprised that they did it. They're like, what are you talking about? When do we see you a stranger or naked or see you in prison and visit you? When do we do those things? And the king will say, I'll tell you the truth. When you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you're doing it to me. Then the king will turn to those on his left and say, away with you, you cursed ones, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his demons. For I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty and you didn't give me a drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me, and I was naked and you gave me nothing. I was sick and in prison and you didn't visit me. And they'll reply, Lord, they're surprised. Lord, when do we ever see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison? When do we not help you? And he'll answer, I'll tell you the truth. When you refuse to help the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you are refusing to help me, and they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous will go into eternal life. Some strong words there. Two quick things. One, Jesus cares so much for the people who are labeled as the least of these that he identifies himself with them as representatives of him in the world. That's crazy. Second, those people who did do something were just as surprised as the people who didn't do any of it. They say, Lord, when did we even do that? They don't even recall that it happened. Why is that? It's because it was just their natural heart posture of an operating system of their life after they received and recognized the love that they had been given from Jesus. They don't really have to think about it. It happens. Their heart and their head have been transformed into a lifestyle that naturally sees people the way that Jesus sees people. And their hands move. Now listen, this isn't about behavior earning your way into heaven. This isn't about doing good things so that way God likes you. This is about whether the love of Jesus dwells within your heart or not. Does the love of Jesus dwell within your heart or not? And that seems to make all the difference in your eternity. And in all of this, you have to remember Jesus' mercy, because the weight of this can be crushing. I don't know how many times I've walked by someone who needs help, or I've driven by someone who needs help and I didn't do anything. And I came up with 15 excuses why. And the conviction hits later. But I have to believe that Jesus' grace and mercy is still for me, that I can make mistakes, and that he'll take me back in and show me grace and mercy. Pick me up, put me on my feet, and I can walk again. We see this all the time with Peter, especially when Peter denies Jesus at his crucifixion. People asking him, do you know Jesus? And he's like, no, nope, I don't know the guy. One of the gospels says he locks eyes with Jesus when he denies him. Can you imagine that moment? He messed up. Yet Jesus returns to him, draws him close, and reinstates him into the ministry of God as if nothing ever happened. And then Peter goes on to preach a sermon declaring Jesus as king to thousands of people who then repented and were baptized in obedience to that gospel. It's a pretty good turnaround. It's okay to miss, but learn from it. Grow from it. Discipleship is about practice. It's not about perfection. Discipleship to Jesus is about who you're becoming in the right next decision and taking the right next step, not perfection. Nobody in any church service has ever stood up and we've clapped for them because they finally become exactly like Jesus. That should tell you that you take the pressure off there a little bit, okay? You can't be Jesus, but you should practice his ways and implement them into your life, absolutely, 100%. Decision points. The decision points of seeing these people in need, no matter the situation, the way my mom and my teacher saw my buddy Sam struggling. When it's right in front of your face, you're left with a decision to make, and I don't know what you'll decide. I don't know what you'll decide. But here's the deal. More than likely, you can't solve all their problems either, especially if you care more about their problems than they do, and you know that that happens sometimes. And we already know that God's the one that does the saving. We're just there participating in it. So that's not up to you. It takes that pressure off. But the process of compassion and then action, there's got to be something you can do to help. There's got to be something. And Jesus says, when you do something, even if it's little, for the least of these, you do it for me. Hungry, give food. Thirsty, give a drink. Cold, give a coat. In a tough situation, be a listener. He's not asking anything impossible. He's not saying pay all their debts and give them a free house and buy them a car and all that. He's saying feed people, love people, listen to people. We can do that. We can do that. We can move in as Christ followers, trusting the gut feeling that we have of the Holy Spirit drawing us towards helping people. And listen, there are situations where that is out of your league, baby, and you need to call somebody. You know what I mean? And that's not a safe situation. You need to call people who are trained and have the experience to deal with that situation. I'm not saying you step into every situation, but I'm saying that's still helping. That's still moving when you need to move. It's just like Daniel Tiger says.
Saying I'm sorry is the first step.
Then how can I help everybody? Here we go. Saying I'm sorry is the first step. Then how can I help? What a groove. Awesome. Compassion and then action. So I had this experience. I was driving to the gym during this last really cold snap these last few weeks ago. 6 a.m., negative 20 degrees outside. I'm in gym shorts and a hoodie, okay? I'm driving through a parking lot because I kind of cut through to get to my gym, and I see a lady, middle-aged lady, assuming I do not speak the same language as her, outside of her car, wrapped in a blanket with a flat tire. And I'm like, I do not want to change a tire right now. I'm going to lose a finger. Like somebody, I'm sure, plus if I drive up there, I'm going to freak her out. A guy in a hoodie in the dark driving a Grand Marquis. You know, like, what good comes from that? I'm driving and I'm saying all these things out loud. I'm like, somebody's probably coming for her. Like she's probably got help, all this kind of stuff. And I park at the gym and I'm like, I can't unsee it. I can't unsee it. I can't pretend like I didn't see that. And so I start backing up because what do I tell my kids? Lowry's are what? Helpers. So I need to go be a helper and quit being a big baby. And so I back up and I'm driving there. I'm like, I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to do it in stages to not lose fingers. And I'm pulling up Google Translate. I'm like, hopefully I can communicate without freaking her out. Like, I don't want to be that guy. And I pull up next to her. I roll down my window. She rolls down hers. And I go, excuse me, ma'am, do you need help? And in perfect English, she goes, oh no, I just used my portable pump. I'm headed home. I was like, glory to God. All right. Fantastic. I'm headed back to the gym. Nice and warm. But what I'm saying is, it was a decision point. It was a decision point. I can't unsee it. I can't pretend like I didn't see it. What can you give? There's got to be something. Yeah, maybe you can't change their whole circumstance, but a bunch of bananas you just bought might get them through the day. I don't know. Giving them something to drink, helping them out, being a listener, decisions. I remember this verse. This is Proverbs 3. Do not withhold good from those who deserve it. Now, how do we decide if someone deserves it? Do we judge that? Do we measure them up to see if they're worth it? Or do they deserve it because they're made in the image of God? Don't withhold good from those who deserve it. And when it's within your power to help them. If you can help your neighbor now, don't say, come back tomorrow and then I'll help you. It's a decision point. And look, this church is full of people who live this way. Packed full of people who live this way. I don't know how many times when I'm out there on a Sunday morning, I hear from people, this is my first time here. I was just trying to look for someplace safe, someplace that would just not judge me and I could just be here. And someone smiled at me when I walked in and it made all the difference. You know how many times that's all it took for someone to enter into the kingdom of heaven is a door greeter smiling and saying hello? Where else does that happen in your life? Besides Walmart, you know? And then you help their kids feel safe and loved, and you take them back to Kid City and they get to hear the gospel. And then you walk them around the building and you say, hey, you know, we were all new here once too. And you know, it's powerful ministry. And all the stuff you do outside of this building, we hear stories all the time of these little things that change people's lives. I don't know how many times I'm back there before a baptism doing that whole little walk, which by the way, isn't it interesting that only like 3 out of 10 times it's a staff person baptizing somebody? Does that not show the ministry of this church? Is that it's you leading people to Christ? It's you being a part of people's stories. That's powerful. You know, how many times I've been back there and people are like, you know, I just had a buddy who said, give it a shot, give it a chance. And they just loved me well and they were there for me and it's just changed my life. You do it all the time. This church constantly inspires me to love people better and to grow and to change and to love people better. I'm so proud of Third City when we can be a church that loves people the way Jesus loves people. That's what it's meant to be. It's what it's supposed to be. And speaking of that, I wanna share a story with you of just some ordinary people who said, I'm sorry, how can I help? And it's changing some people's lives.
My name is Carolyn LaFrance, and this is Jay Knudsen, Barb Dvorak.
Terry Dvorak.
When Jay and I would go out on outings, he would always want to stop and find some of his friends. So Jay and I decided that we like donuts. We started coming out here and having donuts, and then we just started talking, and he said, bring my friends here for a donut. So we started having donuts.
In 98, we started doing foster care. And in 99, God gave us our son, Nick. Nick was 10 days old. When we got him, he was not expected to live. And we did just about lose him when he was just a little under a year old. We prayed and God kind of said, well, how old do you want him to be? And he gave us 20 years. It was the third anniversary of his passing. We came to church and Laura took us aside and she said, we're doing this new thing called Coffee with Friends, and we're wondering if you would want to be host couples. We told Laura, your timing is impeccable. And so how could we say no?
Everybody is so friendly and getting along, and the people at the church are absolutely wonderful. I think everyone that comes to visit feels really comfortable here.
I get to be on the door and greet them, and cold weather, warm weather, you know, doesn't matter to the people coming too. I mean, they, you know, some days they have to park, you know, 100 yards away, and they come trucking in the cold weather, and they're really happy to be here.
You know, people are understanding that we all do the same thing, and we're all the same, you know, as far as the people that we hang out with, and it's wonderful, you know, to be able to mingle and say hi to people, and the hugs. The hugs are probably the most important thing.
Was it the first time we met in January? And it was extra cold that morning. Well, you know, probably won't be much of a crowd or any, gee whiz. It seems like each month it's getting more and more, it's growing.
We started with maybe 6 dozen donuts, and now we're up to like 16 dozen. Yeah.
I'm hoping that we're able to meet new people, invite more people from out of town to come and see what we do, and maybe start their own coffee with friends.
We've purposely made it like a party setting. So now what we see, they are coming in, they are socializing, they know each other, they are good friends, and they go around, they talk to each other. They recognize us as volunteers, they recognize staff that are here. And we want to give special attention to the caregivers, the people that bring them. There may be one, maybe two caregivers, and they bring a bus or van of six. Special needs people, they are wonderful with them. They are caring, they nurture them, they interact with them. And you know, it takes a special person to do that. Hebrews 13:2, do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. It's likely you won't know who or when the opportunity comes. Angels might be unrecognizable. They might be disguised as someone you know or as a complete stranger. Our response to this text should be, since we don't know who God is sending our way, be hospitable to everyone.
Jay, did you want to say hi or thank you or anything?
Can you say hi?
No, you got to stay here. You got to stay here. Where are you going?
Are you all done?
Are you done? You're done?
Good. That pop.
can you wave at the camera and say bye? Hey, is that kind of a cool story or what? It's pretty cool. I think Coffee with Friends might go down as the fastest growing ministry in Third City Christian Church history. You got to know this. You got to remember this. These are ordinary people. These aren't like masters of charisma and influencers. They're just people that go, I could probably do something. You got to remember that this church started in a living room with a bunch of people who said, I could probably do something. A few things came from that. A few things. Brendan was talking to me this week, and he spoke last week. He pointed this out to me. He said, the same dangerous road that the robber was attacked on is actually the same road that Jesus walked on his way to the cross. And of course, Brendan would know that, right? Probably got some cute map to show you about it. But he walked that road. And yeah, our life is still tough. Gosh, recently, for some reason, I just keep saying this thing that's like, life's tough and there's a few good days, you know? Like, doesn't it feel that way sometimes? But Jesus won the battle that we needed fought and won. And that was against death itself, against sin and against death. And that when we allow his love, it's the hardest thing for people to do. I have conversations every time after I preach of people just asking, how do I let God love me? And my response today was, you've got to get over the self-righteous idea that you're the one that can judge yourself. You got to get over your pride of saying that I'm a better judge of me than God is, because God's looking at you saying you're worth dying for. I love you and I want you to be a part of my family. And Jesus stamped that seal when he rose from the dead. So as we take communion, I not only want you to ponder what Christ has done for you, if you're still trying to figure out who this Jesus guy is and if this was really like, you know, worth looking into, is this interesting to you? Maybe consider, what do you have to lose and what do you have to gain? And maybe this is what you've been looking for this whole time. And I also want you to consider what you might be called to do for other people. Saying I'm sorry is the first step, then how can I help? Saying I'm sorry is just a moment of compassion, of seeing people the way Jesus sees people, and moving in, how can I help? How can I help? I'm not telling you to flip the whole world upside down for someone, but you could probably do something. During this series, we've been talking about a head, heart, hands challenge. So I want to present that to you here. It's just a challenge for your week. Here's your head challenge. Be a tourist in your own city and spend the next week exploring it. Try a new restaurant, take a different route to work, whatever. Go to the library or museum. Google search your demographics, cross the train tracks, and get curious about the place God has put you. Get outside your world. Heart challenge, consider the people you judge the most. You think you got it perfect, you think your heart's all in the right spot, and then you get asked that question. Think about those people who you judge the most. Pray for them. Humble yourself and pray for them. Here's the hands challenge. Chances are you know what someone in your life is needing. Fill the need. Do it. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's listening. Maybe it's being present. Maybe it is really helping. I think of some of these kids when it comes to Kingdom Rally. In the 10 years I've done student ministry, I don't know how many times I've heard the story. Yes, there's a few families that are in financial rough spots that need help, but I would say just as equal the amount of time, it's kids who want Jesus and want the kingdom of God, but their parents don't give a crap. And they're saying, I want this so bad and I have no way to get there. Maybe it's given to some of those kids. I don't know. I don't know what you're called to do. I don't know what God's doing in your heart, but trust him with it. Step into these moments, saying, I'm sorry, how can I help? Make the decision to go and be the love of Jesus.
Thanks for listening to the Third City Christian Church podcast. Please join us for one of our live worship services at 8:45, 10:15, or 11:30 a.m. in Grand Island, 9:15 and 10:30 a.m. in Broken Bow, and on Facebook Live and at thirdcityc.online.church each Sunday at 10:15. For more information about Third City Christian Church, send email to office@thirdcityc.org. Call us at 308-384-5038 or visit us online at thirdcityc.org.